The Torah content from now through Pesach has been sponsored by the Kofsky family in loving memory of Adira, who loved big ideas and asking big questions. Hello, I'm Rabbi Matt Schneeweiss, and this is the Stoic Jew podcast, where we explore the relationship between Judaism and Stoicism. Before I make the episode, let me tell you what prompted me to make this episode. As you can probably tell by the title, it was insomnia, my dear friend. I have talked about my insomnia on this podcast before. Usually it takes the form of waking up in the middle of the night and not being able to go back to sleep. But I had kind of a double whammy over these last three nights. On Friday night, we got back from our Shabbos meal rather late, and I fell asleep at around 12:30, and then woke up slightly before 3 with allergies. And the allergies kept me up for the rest of the night. So then on Saturday night, I decided to go to sleep right after Shabbos, and I did something which I almost never do, which is that I took Benadryl. And my thinking was that I couldn't take my normal allergy medication because it hadn't been 24 hours yet. And Benadryl would definitely ensure that I would fall asleep. And if I did wake up, it would protect me from the allergies, from having a repeat of Friday night. So I did that. I slept through the night, waking up a little bit, but no allergies. Had a good, 8+ hour sleep, which was great. But then I forgot why I don't take Benadryl, because I have something which I don't know what the cause is. I have this thing, I call it the Benadryl backfire effect, which is that if I have a night of sleep that is aided, by the drowsy inducing properties of Benadryl, or I don't know what actually causes this, but then the next night I cannot sleep at all. And that's what happened last night. I'm recording this on Monday morning. Sunday night, I could not sleep at all. I tried to go to sleep, realized I wasn't asleep by 12, got up, read for about an hour, tried to go to sleep again, realized I wasn't sleeping, got up at 3, read for another hour, went back to sleep, tried to go to sleep again, realized I still wasn't going to sleep, and then daylight came, and I decided to try to sleep in, which never works. So I still didn't sleep, and I resigned myself to my fate and got out of bed at 7:30-ish. So that was that. So what I wanted to do was, I had planned on making an episode of the Stoic Jew podcast anyway, and I thought it might be a good idea to just do a podcast of my self-talk, my Stoic Jew self-talk, in light of something like this. Others might find it beneficial to have this kind of style. And then also, it's self-talk, so I'm saying this for myself. It's a little bit before 9 o'clock. I have the whole day ahead of me, and I think this will probably help me to frame my day. So the first thing that came to my mind, I was looking through, actually, Marcus Aurelius's Meditations this morning just to see if there was anything about, insomnia. And I saw this passage in Book 6, Chapter 31. And when I read it, I was like, have I done an episode on this before? And turns out I did do another insomnia episode on this very passage back in February. And I don't remember what I said. There might be some overlap, but I know I'm taking it in a different direction. So whatever, I can listen to it. You could listen to it again. I'll listen to it again. But here's the passage. I think I used a different translation last time because I didn't have this in my files. So he says, sober up, recall yourself, shake off sleep once more. Realize they were mere dreams that troubled you. And now that you are awake again, look on these things as you would have looked on a dream. Now, I think what he's talking about is going to be different than what I'm going to focus on. But the reason why I picked this passage is because what happens in a normal night of insomnia for me is I wake up in the middle of the night, and then my mind immediately starts thinking about the future. And all of these anxieties and concerns and worries come up. And, I know myself well enough to know that I can't trust that those are rational thoughts in the middle of the night. And when I say rational thoughts, I mean that oftentimes the thing that I am thinking about actually is a real issue, but then I end up the anxieties kind of blow them out of proportion, and I like worry about it a lot more than usual. Or what happens is I think way, way, way more ahead into the future than I need to. So case in point, last night, we're right now, this is in July, and I actually booked my flight back to New York for the end of August yesterday, and I'm already thinking about like the week that I get back. Now that's more than a month away, and I'm thinking about that week and like having certain anxieties about what I'll do and what I'll have to do when I get back and et cetera. So that's the type of thing that like this that Marcus Aurelius is talking about here, that these are mere dreams that trouble you. I mean, it's not literally dreams, but the point is these are thoughts that are not rooted in reality, but they feel real. That's what a dream feels real when you're having it, and there's a certain like move you can do where you shake it off. You shake off that the concerns and anxieties, and realize that it's just a dream. And when I am successful in combating these thoughts, then that's how I do it. Is I just tell myself, I say like, don't listen to these thoughts right now. These thoughts are not real, And what I actually think about is this scene, and it's possible I've mentioned this before. The scene in the movie Memento, which is about this guy who has, I guess you call it short-term amnesia. He can't form new short-term memories, so he has to like write these reminders for himself. In order to like so that when he comes to, he'll see them, and then it'll like his past self will be reminding his future self about different things. And so there's this photo that he so he takes photos with a Polaroid camera and then like writes notes on them. So there's this I don't even remember where it factors in the movie, but he takes this picture of this guy, and so the main character wakes up and he sees this photo, and it says, "This is Teddy. Don't believe his lies." And that kind of like is the shock to him, because like, he would have just trusted this guy, and then but he sees in his own handwriting this photo that says, "Don't believe his lies." So that's actually the phrase that I use about my sleep anxiety, that I treat it as though it's a separate persona, that's telling me these lies, and I say, like, "Don't believe his lies." Okay. So the term for this type of anxiety thinking is, oh, by the way, I'm going to apologize, even though I don't think I need to, because this is self-talk. This is a really scattered episode. I'm just kind of like saying my thoughts here. So not as organized as usual, but that's the nature of the beast. Anyway, so the name that I heard, I don't know where I heard this from, for this type of thinking is future tripping, where like, if you are walking on a path, you can trip on something that's in front of you. So it pays to like look, to look right in front of you to make sure you don't trip. Future tripping is when you are so concerned about the remote future that you are actually like tripping over things that are not even in front of you yet, And there's a difference between future tripping and actually like being a haham and being wise and seeing long-term consequences. So I'm not going to go into the difference right now, but there is a clear difference, and I think a lot of it can be measured by how much and by the degree and quality of anxiety that you have. Anyway, so that's kind of how I was trying to make it through the night. And there was a time when I succeeded. I actually got to a point between probably 4 and 5 a.m. where I was just actually focusing on my bodily sensations. This was something that was recommended to me by one of my friends, and that actually did work. And just being present in my body, but then eventually like the anxieties took over again. Okay, anyway, so that's kind of the way that I was trying to deal with this at night when I was trying to get to sleep, of recognizing that these are just impressions, these are not reflective of reality, and like I just shouldn't listen to them, and to try to occupy my consciousness with something else that is real and is tangible and that is not going to provoke anxiety, which is why I focused on my body. Okay, fine. But then here's where the self-talk begins, is when I woke up in the morning, I had a successive chain of feelings of gratitude. Okay, so first of all was this immediate gratitude that thankfully I don't have any real responsibilities today. First of all, I'm on summer vacation anyway. The only responsibilities I had so to speak, were chavrusas and like making this podcast and which is not, you know, and writing a blog post, not even real responsibilities. Not, it's not like I'm going to go teach a class. Like I can have the flexibility to cancel things. In fact, I actually at 5 a.m. did turn on my phone, or 4 a.m. turn on my phone and canceled my morning chavrusa, because I said that knowing that I have to show up for this morning chavrusa is going to definitely prevent me from falling asleep. And I knew that I had to do that. With my, you know, my blog post, I actually had a very productive writing day yesterday. I wrote two articles instead of one. So today I just have to edit. So no real responsibilities. I'm not going to teach, you know, I don't have to do any like, major other things, any errands really. So no responsibilities. Second feeling of gratitude I had was the fact that there was no real harm done, you know, and this is a big deal. Like, you know, I get a bad sleep. I feel bad about it, and I feel like I have suffered a harm. In reality, I haven't suffered a harm. There's no real harm done. I mean, certainly not physical harm or psychological harm, but not real harm either. Like I have not, you know, been my free will has not been harmed. My mind has not been harmed. My knowledge has not been harmed. So there's no real harm at all. And not only that, but there's no real harm that is going to come about that I can foresee as a result of this. You know, like, yeah, did I cancel the chavrusa? Yes, I did. You know, were there ideas that were lost? Perhaps, you know, but, you know, then again, you know, if it weren't for the fact that I got this bad sleep, I wouldn't be making this podcast right now with these ideas. And who's to say what I could have gained or what I could have lost? I mean, it's a trade-off. Like I am using, I'm involving myself in other ideas. It's not like I lost my ability to be involved in ideas. And you know, is my mind and ability to focus and concentrate going to be compromised? Yeah, probably. Is that bad? No, not necessarily. In fact, I think I talked about this on a previous insomnia episode, that, you know, there is a certain type of thinking that I can really only do in a quality way when I've had a good night's sleep. But then when I have a bad sleep, another part of my mind comes up, which is this associative part that leads me to be looser in my thinking and in my intuition than I ordinarily would be. And that can lead to other directions, you know, and that could be a beneficial thing as well. So that might be a benefit. So there's no real harm that is going to be done as a result of this. Then another example of this is I had this feeling of like, you know, the beginning of the week. This is the beginning of the week, and I want to make sure that the beginning of the week goes well. And there was this irrational, this feeling of like, oh, I ruined the beginning of the week. You know, I got started off on the wrong foot. But in reality, like, that's not a thing, you know, like each day is its own day. You know, tomorrow will be another day. And there's nothing that says that like the week is ruined if you get a bad sleep on day one. So again, it was another imaginary harm. Then I had this other interesting moment of gratitude, which is that my practice is to say when immediately after waking up, Elokai Neshama, the bracha of Elokai Neshama, not Mode Ani. I gave a whole shiur on that. I'll link that in the comments, but that's my practice. And since I did not sleep, then I am not obligated in that bracha. So I actually, this is one of these rare instances where not saying a bracha resulted in more kavana than saying a bracha, because what happened was I got up, almost instinctively said Elokai Neshama like I usually do, but then realized that like I realized that I'm not obligated in it. And that got me thinking about what it is that I'm not saying and why I'm not saying it. You know, and where my mind went to was the very end of the bracha of Hamachazir, Baruch Hashem, Hamachazir Neshamos Lifagarim Meisim. You know, blessed are you, Hashem, who restores souls to dead bodies. Basic idea there being that when you're asleep, sleep is somewhat like death in that you're not conscious. And you know, you are restored to consciousness in the morning. And sorry for the noise, by the way. I'll explain why there's noise in a little while. And I realized, like, that made me realize how much I take it for granted that each night, you know, Biadcha Afkid Ruchi, you know, I entrust my consciousness to God in the form of sleep, and it's returned to me in the morning, and I'm refreshed. You know, and the fact that I didn't get that this morning, that I didn't get that sleep and that refreshing of consciousness, made me grateful for the fact that I do get it almost every other night, you know? So that was another moment of gratitude. I know, again, I'm going out of order here. I was this made me extra grateful for having an extra productive day this yesterday on Sunday, because you know reduced the amount that I needed to worry about for today. I was grateful for the fact that I got in a couple extra hours of reading, you know, in the wee hours of the morning, reading this book about the Aleppo Codex. It was the type of reading, you know, I'd been wanting to read this over Shabbos, but I was reading another book. And so, like, I got to compensate for the reading, so to speak, and read more than I had initially expected to. And then what that led to was ideas about a blog post that I want to write, which, again, I would not have even thought of writing were it not for the fact that I was up reading this book for 2 hours, you know? So that led to other thoughts as well. So all these moments of gratitude, okay, I'll explain what the sound is right now. You know, I decided to go, so ordinarily I would have been having a chavrusa this morning, but I canceled it and I couldn't reinstate it because my chavrusa made other plans. So I decided to drive to Starbucks after I davened. But instead of going to Starbucks, I said, you know what, I want to make this podcast now instead of later on in the day. And where can I make it? I'll make it in a park. So I went into one of these foresty parks on Mercer Island where I am right now and got to have a nice walk in the forest. But I'm kind of walking around so that, you know, I can stay out of the way of other walkers. And that's where the car noise is coming from. But here you go. I got another moment of gratitude that I get to spend a morning walking in the forest. So that's the category of gratitude. And I'm sure there's going to be more that crops up in the day. Okay. The next thing I was thinking of was complaining. Okay, so, you know, there are two psukim in Mishlei which are identical, one in 18:8, the other in 26:22, which is Divrei Nirgan k'mislahamim v'him yardu chadrei baten. The words of a complainer are like blows, like physical blows, and they descend to the depths of the belly. Okay, I am not holding in that pasuk right now, as they say, so I can't tell you exactly what it means, but the main idea is that complaining, whenever you a person complains because they think it helps, you know, even if, you know, whether you're complaining to others or complaining to yourself, really all it does is you're just beating yourself up. Because what you're doing is you're complaining is prompted by the fact that reality is not in line with your desires. And what you're doing is you're basically throwing a tantrum about it. You're basically whining at reality and feeling as though somehow expressing your pain is going to like make things better or is going to somehow make you feel better. But all you're doing is really just drawing attention to the fact that reality is not in line with your desires and getting caught up in the past and exacerbating the pain, you know? So when I woke up this morning and after, I keep using the word waking up, when I got out of bed this morning and realized how bad of a sleep I had, then, you know, and just was thinking about it, I was sorely tempted to mope and to complain, and I still am. But then I'm realizing that this is like, that's not going to make anything better, and it's just going to make things worse. And then what happened was when I was davening, I did my, my Talis death meditation, which I have now kept up for almost a full year. I'll include a link to that in the show notes as well. And in the Talis death meditation, you know, I basically take three deep breaths while wrapped on my Talis. First one saying, I'm going to die. Second one saying, you are going to die, thinking about everyone. And then the third breath thinking, all I have are these precious moments. And when I was doing that, I was thinking to myself, let's say this is my last day, right? You know, which again is a thought that has been, you know, more on my mind ever since I started getting back into Stoicism. But this was not a forced thought. This was a natural thought. Like I just naturally thought, what if this is my last day? Do I really want to spend this last day like moping around, you know, and feeling bad about not having gotten a good sleep last night? No, of course not. So I just realized it's not in my best interest to waste mental energy and feelings on this regret about the past, about the, about, you know, not having gotten a good sleep. So that was another thought I had. And then the last thing that I'll say right now is, this episode is going on long enough, is that, you know, one of the things that Stoicism and Mishlei really have helped me to do are to, you know, you can't choose the card that you're dealt, but you can, like, you know, make the best out of it. I know that's not the idiom, but, you know, I could have just been sitting here moping, and instead I decided to make this podcast episode, which already this has helped me, because now I've been, you know, focusing on on processing this for 20 minutes now. Hopefully this helps other people as well. And it's a benefit, you know? So good came of this. It wasn't just that I didn't get harmed, but actual good came of this. So, that is that. I'm sure there's more, but I hope you found this helpful. When I can see the mountains now, there's another beautiful side that I wouldn't have seen, if things had gone as planned. So I hope this is helpful, definitely helpful for me. And again, this is really why I feel like, I know I've said this before, but this is why, you know, it's not just a matter of reading or dabbling in Stoicism. It's a matter of practicing this on a daily basis so that it becomes part of how you think. And you know, success is not necessarily measured by like automatically perfectly internalizing all these ideas. Like again, when I woke up this morning, I was really upset and frustrated, and I'm sure later on in the day when I get really tired, this is my premeditatio malorum, am going to like feel resentful towards the fact that I didn't get a good sleep. But you know, the fact is that these thoughts, you know, the thoughts from Stoicism and Michelet and all this other stuff, because I've been practicing these things, these thoughts naturally came in and helped mitigate the pain and suffering that I have. And again, this is, you know, I don't want to say that this is, that insomnia is like the worst suffering in the world. Of course it's not. There are much worse things. But the point is that you will not be able to apply these ideas to the big actual harms and tragedies in life, unless you start by practicing it in the small areas like this, like insomnia, like a bad night of sleep. So that's it for today's episode. And since I'm in a park, I don't really have my outro thing here, but I say, what is it that I say? That's it for today's episode. If you've gained from what you've learned here today, please consider contributing to my Patreon at www.patreon.com/RabbiSchneeweis. Alternatively, you can make a contribution to the Rabbi Schneeweis Torah content fun at, yeah, look in the other stuff. I'm not going to make the outro right now. It'll be in the show notes. Okay. Have a good day.